Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of Birth.
Easy for you to say.
Yes, it's not actually not easy for me to say.
The corner birth.
The corner birth. Yeah. No children have been born
here. That could
work. No, it would be nice. We're pro-life. We're very pro-life. So if one of you is about to give birth, let me know.
On air.
We'll change the order.
You know, our daughter-in-law is getting ready to have a kid.
Oh, that is awesome. Congratulations. Yeah.
Let her know.
I will.
Yes. No, we're not going to recommend. This is for emergencies only. All that aside, we're not doing that. Welcome. Hi.
Hello.
I'm Deacon Jeff, and you just heard Ziggy.
That's me.
And you heard Venerable Tom.
Yes, sir.
And so hopefully this is going to be a good show. I've been looking forward to talking about this. It's a show about a show.
Yeah.
Exactly right. And because we don't have any kind of agreements with said show, we can't play the actual clip. But you've heard it. Everyone's heard this clip.
Yeah.
I was driving along one day, and I actually heard Ben Shapiro's show. I was listening to that, and he played a clip from Pints with Aquinas, Matt Frad's show, that's actually on Daily Wire.
So he can do that. Yeah.
I guess they have the arrangement already, which is great. And Matt had Peter Kraft on the show.
One of our guests.
And yes, we've had a Peter, although, man, that was back in the day.
It was.
And I think it was one of my worst shows, only because he's so awesome.
He
is so incredible. And I was so intimidated. I just felt like I was there sitting in the booth with greatness.
Yeah.
You know, and where I was
of.
Kind of a fanboy, you know, and just it was kind of an awkward, I think for me, I felt awkward. I'm sure it was fine. But you can actually still listen to it. It's just go to the website, thecatholiccafe.com, and then when you go to the listen part, you can actually just put in the keyword Kraft, that's K-R-E-E-F-T, and you put that in there, and it'll bring up that show. But, he had come through Memphis, and so I got to be able to do a show. It was kind of a neat experience for us.
It was.
We were in the presence of greatness.
Oh, it's intimidating. There's no doubt. He's that sharp.
Yeah, you can't pull anything over on that guy. He recently lost his wife. I don't remember how many years they'd been married. But
63.
63 years.
Wow.
See, you know more than me because you listened to the entire Pints with Aquinas episode.
Highly encourage that.
And I'm going to. Because I just haven't had the time to do it, but I'm going to because when I heard this one little quote it's gone viral in a good way. It's a good virus. It's gone out there, and everybody's heard this quote. So I hope you have heard this. But I do have the quote on paper that we can read. It just made me think, man, this is just so profound. It's so beautiful. And then you actually, Venerable Tom, you actually reached out and said, hey, do you think there's a show in this?
I smell a show.
Yeah, and I'm like 100%.
Yeah.
We didn't plan anything out.
Mm-mm.
We didn't plan what we're going to talk about, but I just feel like there's so many.
We're professionals. We don't need to plan anything, Sam.
Usually professionals plan, but.
Oh, I'm sorry. Never mind. Forget that I said that.
Well, we're professional gunslingers.
Yeah, right, exactly. We're shooting from the hip. No, I just think these are some of our best shows, to be honest with you. People go by like, if you say, like, hey, this is totally unorganized, no one wants to hear, like, if the priest or deacon gets up to say their homily, getting ready to do the homily and go, like, you know, I didn't plan this at all, so here goes. You're thinking, like, I hope he lands this thing soon. You know, we got reservations at Perkins. We got things to do. We just
reservations at Perkins.
I just don't know if I can sit through a, you know,
26 minutes.
You don't want to look. You don't want to see the look on the concierge's face at Perkins if you're, you know, or maitre d's face at Perkins. You know, if you're a little bit late. For your
reservation. That could be bad. That could be bad. So,
might have to pass him a Washington.
He might break out of his. he'll break out of his fake French accent. You know. Anyway, See, we get so distracted. So, when I heard this quote, Peter Kreef was talking to Matt Fradd, and you'll have to tell me, was the whole show about marriage and his relationship with his wife, or was that one piece of it?
Tom? Well, that's just one piece, this one snippet. It's about a 15, maybe 19-minute snippet is what the three of us initially listened to.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Ben Shapiro referred to as well, as that snippet.
Yeah, and it wasn't even that long.
But inside that snippet is that quote, and there are a couple other quotes in there, too. That,
yeah.
There are ginormous mic drops, but... to answer your question, he does talk
about
his wife.
And I believe, if I may be remembering this wrong, but I believe he's close to 90 years old, 80,
yeah,
85.
Yeah, I think he's in
90.
His late 80s.
Okay, so he's 80, somewhere in 80, there.
80-ish.
And he's had, I'll just say, brushes with death.
Yes.
I mean, he's had some cancers. He's had some serious, and his wife did as well. His wife finally succumbed to all of this.
Yep.
And I don't know about the setup so much, other than I just heard this quote. Mm-hmm. And I'm imagining it had to do with, you know, tell me about your wife, tell me about your, you know, the last time you saw her, tell her. And they were talking about beauty, I guess, and the body and things like that.
They actually were talking about ugliness.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it leads to, is ugliness. You know, your wife's not going to be, and you're not going to be this... You know,
Let's be careful.
I mean, yeah, but the two of us over here, we're not going to be as svelte as you, and handsome and attractive. And
I'm svelte right now without the svelt.
Yeah, exactly.
I just have none of that.
Yeah, no, but we're all going to.
But my wife still loves me. Hi, Bess. Hi, do you still love me? I think you do.
We're going to get fat. We're going to get wrinkles. We're going to lose our hair. We're not going to be attractive the older we get. It's going to get ugly.
That is the perfect setup,
right?
Because imagine where the philosopher, the theologian, the great speaker that, and the great understander of life as revealed by God, that Peter Kreef is, you know, I imagine he was trying to help us understand that there's what the world would call beauty, and then there's what the church or what God reveals beauty to be, and then what he experienced in his 63-year marriage.
Totally.
Right?
Yep.
Now, I'm married 38 years. How many?
40.
40 years.
Yeah.
Man, okay.
Wow.
All right, so together, we beat the craves.
8 years.
Together, we got 78 years.
Well.
Combined.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, that's a long time.
It is a long time.
We made it past the...
We beat the average.
The average is 8.2 years in the United States. That is the average.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're well past the average.
Yeah.
I mean, you're like five times the average, you know? So both of us...
Let's not get cocky.
Yeah, we're not going to. I don't want to take anything for granted. But but obviously, they were talking about marriage and beauty and true beauty and all that kind of stuff. And then Peter Kreef drops this truth bomb just in the middle. There's like this island, this oasis in the middle of the desert of what
you have everybody out there right now sitting on the edge of their seats. Because you said that
most of them have heard it.
You really, really got it teed up.
Okay, well, let me read the quote.
Let's do it.
All right. He says, do you think that when you're very old and your wife is very old and ugly and wrinkled and fat and not very bright or even nasty, that you will still find her beautiful? If so, marry her. The last view I had of my wife was in the nursing home, about an hour after she died. I fell in love with her again. Here is a wasted, emaciated, wrinkled, suffering body as beautiful as a crucifix. The body is not going to last, but the soul is. So if you don't love her soul, but just love her body, don't get married. When I heard that, because it's the first time, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I'm like, and when he says it, it's very emotional, because he's emotional.
Oh, yeah.
Right, and so, man, when you see an emotional revelation from someone, and you know it's emotional because they're getting emotional, he doesn't blubber, but you can tell this is coming from the depths of his soul.
He it does, but the video, so I don't know if y'all have gone and seen the video. There's a video of the two of them having this conversation.
Yeah, I saw that clip.
He's smiling. He's actually smiling in that, if I recall correctly.
Well, but it's emotional.
Oh, it is completely emotional.
And you can tell by the way he's saying it and how he's saying it, you can tell that, like, this is straight from the very core of his being.
What's interesting too is when you read that, I don't know if you guys noticed the silence that we had just kind of taking it in. Matt Frad was the same way. I mean, for a long period of time.
Oh, he was choked interview. Up. Especially that there was a silence also around that moment of as beautiful as a crucifix. That moment there, I was just like pregnant with meaning, you know?
Yeah, and there's like, I wasn't expecting any of that. And when I heard that, it's like, you know, when profound truth, and you know it to be true, it's that kind of DNA truth.
Oh,
that kind of stuff that's deep down inside you, and you go like, okay, that's true, and nobody can convince me otherwise. Because it was the way it was delivered. And I love Matt Frad. I think he's actually a really, really great, and I want to see the rest of the interview because he's obviously a gifted interviewer. And I've heard many of his long-form interviews where I've like, he has a really good way of drawing people out or whatever. But he is an interviewer. Mm-hmm. In the same way that I'm an interviewer or we're interviewers or we do this and we know that like we don't want to have dead space in our interviews and we want to fill the time and we don't want the technicians, the guys at EWTN to go like, what's wrong? They're off the air, you know. We want to fill it with stuff, right?
Right.
Which is the same thing when you look at the Novus Ordo Mass where people are filling it with stuff, right? Where it's like there's no sacred silence sometimes.
Which he actually gets into that.
So there's some beauty to all of that stuff. And so when he speaks these words, Matt Frad, I think, I'd let him speak for himself, but I think that he's taken aback, like, I don't know what to say because I'm supposed to know what to say because this is my job. This is what I do for a living. You know, and I've had a few moments like that in my own life where I'm like going, I don't know what to do with this because this is so profound. This is such a beautiful truth. And it's like, to me, that's it didn't pick, all that stuff happened all at the same time.
Right.
The words that he said, the truth that he said, Sam, like you, when he said the word crucifix, that came out of left field for me. But what was so beautiful about it is instantly, because, you know, we did last year, we did our Summer of Holy Matrimony. Mm-hmm. And that's part of this marriage prep program that's been promulgated in the Diocese of Memphis. And I've actually had people who have reached out to me and said, hey, I'm taking your, I think it was 14 shows on marriage that you did last summer. And we're actually playing those for couples in our parish. Mm-hmm. And so now you have people who are going through that material. So marriage prep and stuff has been really on my heart. It's just something that's really close to me. And I really feel like it's my calling. And I didn't say this that Dr. Peter Crafe says, but it's like I've made these kind of comparisons where I'm like, man, that's what hit me. It's like,
Do you have some there?
Somewhat.
Some of the comparisons you're referencing?
Well, I mean, I have them in my head.
Oh, okay.
Right? In the marriage prep, it's about you have to convince, you have to help the couple understand that marriage is love, mm-hmm. is total self-gift. Mm-hmm. For the giving love freely one to the other for the sake of the other, mm-hmm. to get nothing in return. It's just total self-gift. And then, like, there's a whole section on consummatum est, which is the last words of Jesus in Latin, it is finished in English, and so you see this connection between the crucifix and marriage, and then
that's what consummatum est is, consummation.
Right, consummating the marriage. Jesus consummated the marriage, but with a crucifix, right, is how he married, and I saw that all came crashing together, and then Ephesians 5 where you. Submit or subordinate one to the other, mm-hmm. right? Total self-gift, and talks about the wives being subordinate to their husbands in everything. You know, as Christ is head of the body, the husband is head of the marriage, the family. But then the husbands essentially, you know, love your wife as Christ loved the church, handing himself over, mm-hmm. right, to sanctify her, you know. And it's this beautiful thing that St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, and again, at the end, Paul says, I speak in reference to Christ and his church and marriage. So husbands and wives, you are like Christ and his church, right, in this dying for them. Mm-hmm. And so we talk about those things in marriage prep. And all that stuff came crashing down on me or back to me or all at once in this emotional way, mm-hmm. where I'm hearing these words, and it wasn't me saying it. you know, because it's so good sometimes to hear from another source and a respected source like Dr. Peter Craved. Mm-hmm. So tell me, like, when you heard it, I mean, you heard the whole interview.
Yeah, what it was like?
Yeah, I mean, help me understand
experience. For me, it's still happening. And to me, it's like he's dropped several lines. That's a huge one. But it's almost like a nuclear bomb going off. You know, you see that image of the the initial explosion of a nuclear bomb. And then you see the plume it just keeps pluming and evolving.
That mushroom cloud.
Yeah, it's
grows.
Like layer upon layer.
But it's
upon
almost
layer.
Like slow motion.
It is in slow motion.
And that's like a life. It's like a married couple.
Yeah. And what you're doing is you're slowly peeling back what he's trying to communicate. And where my mind went with all this, I know this sounds weird. Y'all are going to think I'm weird, but I don't care. Is my mind went to the Mass. It's like the Mass. When you pray the Mass...
You're not weird.
Yeah.
Well, so your toes in the philosopher's pond.
You start peeling beautiful. It back. You know, you go and you first see... You kind of go with these blinders, but once you go and really pray it, then the layers begin to slowly peel back more and more and more, and there's more that you get out of it. So that's what I got out when I'm still getting stuff out of
no,
it.
No, see, that's an amazing comparison, because I just had another one of those Peter Craved moments when you just said that, in terms mm-hmm. of like how you view and understand the Mass. And we've talked several times on this show, and you know there's a conversation in the church about like the traditional Latin Mass versus the Novus Ordo, and I am not going to go into any kind of camps here and say...
He goes into that.
This is all good, and this is all bad, and anything like that.
He talks about that specifically in the show. That's another area that he goes to, so that helped too. And what's funny is I listened to what we listened to first, which is an excerpt. Then I went back a couple days later and listened to the entire version. That's when he starts to unfold that. But my mind was already there, so that was kind of cool to see that bridge.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
And so this is why we're not just going to Mass just to either check a box. And I don't want to say that anybody who goes to this kind of Mass or whatever is just checking a box. So on either side, if you're going because it's this, then you might be checking a box. But the reality is if you're going with the heart that you are – obviously going to Mass with, Tom, mm-hmm. if you're seeing this as some like a mushroom cloud, if you're seeing this as this slow motion thing that's like very, very, very significantly impactful,
mm-hmm.
it is impacting you in a profound way, as a nuclear bomb would have an effect, but in slow motion, and it reveals itself, and mm-hmm. it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, then you start going like, well, maybe how we do Mass... like bringing more reverence back to the Novus Ordo, how we do Mass, understanding what the Mass is.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the same thing about if we understand what marriage is.
Yeah, so what's interesting about you bringing it up that way is, you know, Mass in terms of checking a box. These guys talk about all this, and they talk about it, and they bounce back and forth from Mass to life to family, like raising a family, and how, man, there are certain days where... you feel like you're checking a box. Like, Lord, please make this kid go to sleep. I've got to get some rest here. You know, stuff, just basic fundamental stuff like that. But it's all love.
Yeah, and that's what's so beautiful. That's awesome.
This just keeps unfolding.
And this tells me I've got to listen to the rest of the interview.
Yeah.
I have not listened to it.
Yeah.
So it's really, really, it's really powerful stuff where...
I think Ziggy fell asleep.
Well, he's taking it all in.
No, I was wanting to share some stuff, but I didn't want to interrupt, so I'm just kind of chilling.
No, you're good.
No, feel free.
My eyes have been open. I mean, just for people in radio land, I was trying to be polite.
He's got actually open eyeballs tattooed onto his eyelids.
This is role reversal. I'm doing the talking.
That's great. Right. No, you know what? But it also shows you just how impactful this is.
Oh, it's huge.
How it was and how I think it's going to continue to be.
Mm-hmm.
I just love seeing when somebody gets it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
When we say things, you hear all the time, you hear things said in the church
mm-hmm.
that were revealed by God. You
right.
read scripture. And there are people who go like, I've read the Bible 16 times. You know, and they'll tell you that. But at some level, there's a point where... there's a connection made that either wasn't there or something, a spark or something that set off this mm-hmm. nuclear bomb or a spark that at least started this, wherever you still go like, I get it now.
Yep.
And maybe some of us do that when we're older and it's harder for a young couple getting married. But these kind of words are foreign to the world.
Yeah.
I just think this is super powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Well, a topic that I keep finding myself reflecting on is just the topic of beauty, right? And partly, primarily because of the beautiful is a crucifix line. But I wanted to kind of take a step back and just talk about sort of the Catholic understanding of beauty. And there's a lot that can be said here, but I think the quickest way to address it is when... So you've got particulars and you have universals, right? Universal, God is this, you know, the source of all, the ultimate universal, right? I mean, he's eternal truth itself, right? Particulars are stuff here in this passing world, right? And so beauty is when that which is universal penetrates and reveals itself in a particular, right? So if, you know, now I'm not just looking at a landscape, I'm looking at a beautiful landscape because there's something just like eternal and universal that has penetrated what is in front of me and is shining through it and moving me, right, in a way that I might not necessarily be able to vocalize or explain, but it's moving the heart.
Oh no, like the first time I met Bess, I looked at her and I said, "You are very particular." That's what I said.
right. But anyways, what I was trying to get at was that, so particulars, right, when you are married to someone, you two are locked in the particulars of life with one another. And the more and more that the person has lived out the vocation of marriage and has made that act of self-gift, and there's that shared act of self-gift of each living out the consummatum est, to, right, both pouring themselves out, then God, in his grace, he's shining through the particulars of everyday life. You know, like I'm reminded of like Thérèse of Lisieux. You know, ultimately, she's talking about like the vocation to love rather than saying it's got to be this big, lofty thing of I'm going to go and be a missionary in this fancy place. I'm going to just find opportunities for love in everyday life, and I'm living out my vocation to holiness, and God is shining through those little moments in those little ways. Well, in a vocation to marriage properly lived, mm-hmm. you've got all of these little particulars, these little moments that are just being
details.
Lit up. And here it's being culminated, right, in death, to death do us part, and he sees his wife, and he says she's emaciated, I mean, her body itself, but he sees that her body and getting to that place, it was the result of years of her pouring herself out in love to him, and so that incarnational... aspect of the faith came alive for him because he's able to see the universals alive in those particulars, which brought about, just the divine mystery of their love story.
No, that's beautiful, that's true. I am reminded of like a worldly saying that's like the opposite of that.
But
the devil is in the details, mm-hmm. right? But what you're saying and what is right is that God is in the particulars. God is in the details. This is like when you talked about the little way of mm-hmm. Of Thérèse, and that's what I think why it was so powerful when he says. I mean, he says so many things in this little short clip, mm-hmm. and apparently there's others that I need to hear. But like it starts off kind of like off-putting. When he's talking about, I mean, people think like, well, how cruel mm-hmm. that you're calling your wife, you know, very old and ugly and wrinkled and fat and not very bright or even nasty. Now, he's not calling her that, but he's saying if this is the case, mm-hmm. right, and that our bodies tend to do that, mm-hmm. right, and he's saying this is like, if you still find them beautiful in that, then you're able to see God. You're able to see God through the particulars of that relationship, in the simplicity and the beauty that is your wife who's passed away. But when he said, "I fell in love with her again," which was right before the crucifix, "I fell in love with her again." It's like that was, I did. That's what I did. Just moved me because
that nuke.
Yeah, because what you realize is like. what are you prizing and what are you valuing in life? Mm-hmm. And then when he made the remark about the cruci- as beautiful as a crucifix, all that stuff that makes me realize why I need not only to be Catholic but to stay Catholic. The fact that we have a crucifix, mm-hmm. right, which is way better than a Hallmark card.
But it's also ugly.
Yeah, you mean a plain cross, like a...
Oh, it's the ugliest thing of all time.
Well, yes and no.
Which is counterintuitive.
But people don't think that, and they just got offended by what you said. But you're right in that it's in its simplicity. Because, right. you know, what I'll talk to people about, like, why we Catholics have a crucifix... And I'll just say it simply like this. It is no miracle that God is off the cross. Right? The miracle is not that God is off the cross. So when a Protestant says to me, don't you know Jesus is not on the cross anymore? Mm-hmm. You're worshiping a dead body on a cross. It's like, exactly. Because it's, you know, it's a Hallmark card. It's a feel-good card to say, oh, good for Jesus. He's off that cross. He's not in pain anymore. He's God. It's a no-brainer. Yeah, he's God, so he's not going to be overcome by death. The miracle, and what I need to be reminded of, is that he did that for me.
Right.
And what did he do? He suffered and died. Mm-hmm. And that's why that crucifix is so important. And when you connect that to marriage, your entire life, mm-hmm. this is one of the most beautiful expressions of love that I've ever heard. And I think ever will hear. Yeah. And we all need to live that way for marriage.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.